When it comes to stroke, time is brain. What does that mean for rural South Dakotans when help might be an hour away? You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. May is Stroke Awareness Month, but we're not going to just go over the signs of stroke today. We're going to take you deep into a survival story, one that includes music and poetry and humor. We'll start here with Chrissy Meyer. She's with the American Heart and American Stroke Association in South Dakota. And Marcella Raymond. She's a poet, a retired instructor from the University of South Dakota, and she is a stroke survivor. Her latest collection is called Stroke, Stroke. We'll get to that in a minute. Here's Chrissy Meyer.
You know, every May we celebrate American Stroke Month. And this year we find ourselves here in South Dakota in kind of coming up on the end of year two of what is a 3-year project to really kind of streamline care across the state. So our Mission Lifeline Stroke Project has been working in the state now for almost 2 years. It was funded with a foundational gift from the Helmsley Charitable Trust. And really the idea behind this is we want to be uniting EMS, rural critical access hospitals, interventional facilities, kind of the bigger facilities that we see in Rapid City and Sioux Falls, and then also rehabilitation into one streamless system that makes sure that patients can get from, you know, the identification that they're having a stroke all the way through rehabilitation in the most timely manner possible. Because what we know is that time is brain. And when it comes to stroke, we need to be able to get someone to that intervention as quickly as possible. And in a rural state like South Dakota, where it may take 40 minutes for the ambulance to get to you, we have to be able to empower people to not only recognize the signs and symptoms, but to act quickly. And that's really what we're working on.
We're going to go over this at the end again, but I just want to make sure here at the beginning, what are those signs and symptoms?
So we focus on an acronym called BFAST. So it's, you know, very easy to remember, but B stands for balance. So if someone, you know, is kind of off balance, E stands for eyes, you know, any vision problems that you're experiencing. F stands for face drooping. So if they're one side of their face kind of is drooping down. A is arm weakness. So have them raise their arms and see, you know, does one kind of drift back down? Are they not able to move their arm on one side? S is speech difficulty. So problem speaking or confusing words, jumbling things. And then if any of those are present, T stands for time. And that means it's time to call 911 and get that EMS on the way so that they can start your intervention immediately.
Are these different for men and for women or for older people and younger people? Any significant differences that we should know?
You know, there really isn't significant differences. I mean, you may also experience additional symptoms, but these are the big ones, right? Yeah. So if you're experiencing any of the BFAST symptoms, that's a pretty good indication, regardless of age, regardless of gender, that you're having a stroke. Now, where the differences come into play is that we know that certain populations are more likely to experience a stroke. So, for example, stroke definitely can occur in anyone at any age, but it is likelier as we get older. Women and men kind of equally likely to have strokes, but we are seeing that in women, stroke is occurring more often. And so it's just important to be aware of the signs and symptoms, and also understand it can happen to anyone at any age, at any time. And so understanding those symptoms, being an advocate for not only yourself, but for the people that you love and the people around you, and getting them to treatment as quickly as possible is really important.
Yeah, it can be scary, but getting past that moment of denial, and I hope this isn't happening to me, or it's probably going to be okay. Yeah. Is an important thing.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. And, you know, Marcella and I have talked about this, just that, you know, that denial that you mentioned, that that's not what's happening. That can't, this can't
be
happening
to me. It's a human denial.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, in so many of the stroke survivors and people who have experienced stroke that I've talked to talk about that emotion, that I'm fine. It'll go away. I'm not going to worry about it. Yeah. And that's really where that time comes into play.
This foundational gift of $4.4 million grant from mm-hmm. the Hemsley Foundation, mm-hmm. Looking at integrating and improving the outcomes. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what's new. I mean, communication is important, but mm-hmm. there's also a triage algorithm and like treatment things that are happening. Yeah. Tell me something interesting about what sort of new things are for this integration.
You know, I think the thing that is probably the coolest thing about the South Dakota project is that, you know, in many of the other states we've done these projects, it has taken us a long time to get hospitals and facilities interested in participating. That's not the case in South Dakota. We have had just an incredible response from hospitals and healthcare systems, rehabilitation facilities, rural facilities. They all were so hungry for this and wanting this unified system, wanting the training, wanting the, you know, something that pulled all of us together. We exceeded our recruiting goals within, you know, kind of the first year. And in fact, we have more than 50 sites across the state that are participating in every corner of the state. And it's not just the big interventional guys. It's not just, you know, the big facilities in Sioux Falls and in Rapid City. It's also small rural swing bed nursing home facilities, because after you've had your stroke, you need to have a place to recover. Mm-hmm. And being close to home and being in a familiar place and in familiar surroundings, being able to do your rehabilitation at the local facility is so important in stroke recovery. And so I think that's kind of what I kind of look to as the coolest thing or the neatest thing about the South Dakota project is that South Dakotan just pulled together on this. They're like, yeah, we're in. We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so now we find ourselves, you know, we have 1 year left of the project, and we'll definitely, you know, bring more sites online and bring more sites into the program. But really now we get to focus on that making it happen piece, the data integration, the finding those great stories of, you know, where, you know, like Marcella, the survival and the recovery. And so we can really focus on now sustainability and how do we make sure that this is built to last and continues on long after this grant has ended.
I want to bring Marcella Raymond into the conversation, and starting with this pronoun that you keep hearing Chrissy say, which is, you know, he had his stroke, she had her stroke, you know, my stroke. It's not a stroke. It's very personal.
It is, yes.
And that is true of your situation. You had your stroke in 2012?
October of 2012.
Tell me how it happened.
I was typing responses to student emails, and I got just briefly a little dizzy and a slight headache, and my left hand couldn't find the keys. The correct keys. And I knew enough to think that something might be going on. So I did all the things that at the time you were supposed to do, hold your arms out and smile to see if it was even on both sides and look at your eyes. And by that time, the dizziness and headache had passed. So I thought, I'm okay now. So I went back to working on student emails, and it happened again about 3 hours later, and then it happened a couple times the next day. So then I went in, and because I live in a small, more rural town, and because they didn't see anything on a CT scan, which they had access to, they asked me to come back a couple days later when the MRI truck was there.
Okay.
So I went home, and that night, in the middle of the night, I woke up and I felt odd. I knew something wasn't quite right, but it was the middle of the night and I'm a stroke denier and I wanted to go back to sleep, which is what I did.
Yeah.
And it was the big stroke.
Yeah.
So when I got up in the morning, I couldn't walk. I had to have help getting down the stairs and had my husband drive me to Sioux Falls to the ER.
There is a short film that we're going to link on our website at sdpb.org that shows you telling your whole story. But what I want to focus on in the interest of time is your recovery.
Yeah.
Because you were very determined to say, 60% of better is not enough for me. I don't want to live with a deficit. Tell me a little bit about your determination to get back to where you wanted to be or get forward to an either healthier life.
Well, you know, one of the most frustrating things was that after I had the stroke, I couldn't sing. And I had my husband's a musician, and I get to sing with the band once in a while. And so the hardest thing for me was that. And I didn't want to, you know, like other things, my left side weakness, my foot wouldn't always clear the stairs. I didn't want to be stuck there. So so I did a year of physical therapy and occupational therapy, but I still wasn't 100%, and knew that maybe I would never be 100%, but I wanted more. So I just kept doing the therapies at home, and I saw a voice rehab specialist. You know, I just did whatever I could to kind of push that boundary.
When did the stroke start showing up in your poetry?
Not for a while. I think I had to get to a place where I knew I was recovering, you know, where I knew the worst was over and I could turn my attention to other things once in a while. So probably, you know, within 2 or 3 years after the stroke, I started working on those poems. But really they weren't, it was probably last year when I finished enough to put a collection together.
Yeah. The process of creativity and poetry in your healing, not the first, not day one, you're not in the hospital, you know, saying, oh, now I'm going to write a book.
Right.
But how did that integrate with the healing itself?
I think it helped probably immeasurably because I'm naturally curious. I'm a natural researcher. I was fascinated with my brain and with this neuroplasticity that's possible after a brain injury. You know, the whole thing fascinated me. And that fascination, I think, made me start writing and made me want to keep pushing to get better and better.
Chrissy, this is not a, you know... It'd be tempting to take this narrative arc where, like, there's a happy ending and now she's better. This is a long journey for people.
Yeah, it is.
What have you noticed in your work with different patients, with different interests, you know, different life goals? How is that showing up differently for people in stroke recovery?
You know, I think about, you know, with Marcella's story, the thing I love about her story is that determination that no, I wasn't going. This is not acceptable, and this is not where I'm going to be. And setting that goal to say my recovery is going to be here. This is my finish line. And what I've noticed is that for every stroke survivor, the finish line is different. And some of them are, you know, just heartbreaking. Like there was a gentleman that I worked with a long time ago, who, you know, was an old bachelor and had lived alone his entire life. And now he found that he needed full-time care. And his stroke finish line was being able to get himself out of bed. And, you know, that was something that was a huge accomplishment for him, was just being able to get out of bed. I had another person that I worked with, and she was like, all I wanted to be able to do was hug with both arms again. Because I just wanted to be able to give somebody a hug. And that was her finish line. And so for every single person, they set their finish line. There was another woman that I worked with. She said, I had beautiful handwriting. And after my stroke, my handwriting was just never the same. And I worked at it so hard because I wanted my handwriting back. I wanted to be able to write letters again. And those are the pieces of the stroke stories that are just so dear, because everyone has that different goal of what they want to accomplish. And I think having that drive and having that is really what carries a lot of people through it.
Yeah.
But that's been the thing that is both the most uplifting, but also the most kind of heart-wrenching, is to hear, you know, those different kind of stories.
Yeah. And what stroke can take mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
How's your singing now, Marcella? I won't ask you to sing here in the studio.
Thank
but
you.
Yeah. How do you?
It's better.
Yeah.
It isn't where it was before the stroke. And I feel like there are things that will never be quite as smooth as they were before the stroke. But I am, you know, I know what those possible outcomes could have been. And yeah. I just feel lucky every day. And feel little, you know, little tiny improvements all the time.
Yeah.
So things get smoother and smoother.
What's the balance between acceptance and determination
mm-hmm.
for you? When do you accept, like, this is my reality? And when do you say, that's not okay, I'm going for more?
Yeah. I like what Ram Dass said after, you know, he suffered a pretty major stroke and was incapacitated by the stroke. But he wrote a book about it. And one of the things he said was, and I'm paraphrasing badly, of course, but he said, you have to let go of the old you mm-hmm. and you have to learn to love the new you. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I just try to remember that this is me today. And I can push for the me I want to be tomorrow. And what I get back, I get back, and the rest I have to let go of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about the new book, and I'm hoping I might press you to read. I'm not going to ask you to sing, but I will
Thank
ask you.
You
to read, partially because of how particular I am to your poetry.
Oh, bless you. Well, the book is called Stroke, Stroke, and the idea is that we're all rowing in our own boats. And, you know, you get where you get, rowing your boat, and we all have to do that ourselves. So it's a book about experiencing stroke and pushing beyond those boundaries or the limitations. And then there are two different kinds of stroke, ischemic stroke and hemorrhagic stroke. The stroke I had was an ischemic stroke, so I decided I would name my stroke ischemia, which I thought sounded vaguely mythological and
yeah.
Greek. And so some of the poems have to do with ischemia, who I imagine as sort of a troublemaking sprite almost. And then some of the poems are funny and some are serious. But the book was published by Finishing Line Press in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And just came out this year.
Will you read something for us?
I will. Let me read one that's kind of funny. So this is the first ischemia poem in the book, and it's about the day I had my stroke. Ischemia thinks she's so funny. I sit at my desk typing, dreaming, when ischemia, mischievous angel of change, scissors my left hand loose from brain's direction. She sits in the window seat singing, I'm so lost without you. Brain says, type students, but untethered hand flops out Q4JL/. I stand, my left foot no longer sure what's up or down. Step drag, step drag, I make my way downstairs. In the bathroom mirror, I check for signs. Stick out my tongue, raise my arms, repeat simple sentences. Touch your nose. Be here now. The rain in. Help. I call to you, beloved, my one-sided smile meant to soothe you. In the ER, ischemia sits on a med cart behind the dock, crossing her eyes and making bunny ears. Your ghost pale, a white-knuckled grip on my hand. I'm too late to stop her, the doctors say. For the next week, I learn to walk again, move pegs from one side of a board to the other, squeeze a rubber ball. I'm a sideshow Quasimodo, pulling on my pajamas to drag my leg up OT's steps to nowhere, a giant bib for relearning drink. Ischemia whispers goo goo gaga in my ear, circles behind the therapist, flaps her arms like a chicken. I tell you, I hate that lousy angel, but you have to admit she's hilarious.
I'm so lucky to have my job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For that.
Thank you both.
We appreciate it.
Chrissy Meyer is with the American Heart and American Stroke Association in South Dakota. Marcella Raymond's book, Stroke, Stroke, is available now. I've also put a link to the short film featuring Marcella Raymond on our website. That's at sdpb.org/in the moment. And that is our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.